we have, when we say that China buys the world, and we talk about China's strategy of going out, it's all total dodge and huge strategy, which Simone called it 4 or 5 years ago, probably more than that. We have been going out for 100 years, more than 100 years after we did go out and construct colonies in North America, across the world. This country had, whatever, we had 500 million people under our rule in 1940. That's a pretty big deal of both that you are going out. We went out to pull a vengeance. French, not quite so good as us, but they went out. And of course, the Americans went out, our ancestors went out and conquered North America, killing directly and indirectly 10, 12, 15 million people. So we've done our game, that's for sure, since the 16th century, of our own special kind, usually like extraordinary damage, and we were very reluctant to do our own game. If you look, for example, France in the peak of the independence movement in Vietnam from 1954, 1945, and 1954, killed countless Vietnamese who had suddenly fled independence and united France. Having been defeated in Vietnam, they went back to Europe, they conquered in the 1940s and 1950s. An incredibly brutality and violence with rubble of episodes of going out, such as the Afro-Nation, which is the strong people who took shelter in caves, men, women, and children with smoke, and killing, you know, sort of a petty war, a little war. Hundreds of people who were trying to fight against French violence in the 1830s and 1840s. And then, 100 years later, when they once again came to assert their independence after the French were in the move from Nigeria, and an enlightened French people came back from Nigeria, became Vietnam and sent from Nigeria, and then committed a genuine violence between 1954 and 1960s in Nigeria. So we have nothing to be proud of over the long term, that's for sure. And we've gone out, we're not very willing to put the places where we have gone out. And of course, that's on a long term record. But since the 1970s, our already powerful global countries became even more global. And we've gone out with hugely great reproduction systems around the world. South America, India liberalized, China liberalized, former Soviet Union, Eastern Europe, all liberalized. And we've built global government systems in the last 30 years, truly spanning the world. Global production systems. If you look at the foreign direct investment stock, and that's growth since the 1970s, power in foreign countries' companies account for 9/10 of that growth. Developing countries are enormous from that growth in international investment, building global production systems. China is in that process up until this point. The future, we can always talk about the future. Who knows about the future? But we have gone out and we have captured the best position in the global airspace, automobile, beverage, media, marketing, accounting, any industry you care to mention. And for China to come into that industry and to try to capture global position in the industry is very, very hard. Whatever industry you look at, whether it's mining, oil, beverages, automobiles, it is very tough, very, very tough. And not only have we gone out into the developing world in general, but also we have grown very, very fast in China. And this is one of the great challenges for China. In order to modernize, it has needed foreign direct investment. And foreign direct investment has played a central role in China's growth. But China knows it needs it. For example, in its aircraft industry, China built its own plane from scratch in the 1970s. It tried and it failed. It was too difficult to just make a leap into producing modern aircraft. And so China today, its air fleet, is entirely composed of Boeing's Airbus. What that's meant is that China's air system, China's national airline company, which we can buy, are entirely safe with the best, latest technologies in the red side. Nothing the planes of the air traffic control system. We and the airline company produce these systems, which means China has built a very safe infrastructure at very high speed, and that's been very important for business and for life in China. If you look at China's banks are modernized at very, very high speed. They have no positions outside China to speak of, but they've provided a huge service to the top, the biggest banks in China for their people, the top 4 banks, top 5 banks. But in order to do that, China's government has accepted there is no way to modernize the information technology of their banking system other than to accept that they need to buy key technologies from the leading global companies based in North America. So the main claims are all IBM, the big private bank. The servers, the second core banking system are IBM and HP. Their business software packages are Oracle, which is IBM. for SAP is doing number two. If you go and put in a card in the machine in China, it will almost certainly be under MCR download or even Chrome Explorer. And inside those will be internet technology. So in order to modernize its banking system, China's a treasury has no choice. It must accept that it has to buy from the world's leading companies, which are predominantly American. I've just come back from a conference in China, which is on innovation, the National Center of Development Forum, which is the founder's government organizes this since the year 2000. And the theme of this year's conference was innovation and green China. That's great. China must become greener. It won't be green, we won't be green, but it'll become greener. And so the goal of China is to increase energy efficiency and reduce environmental damage, both for China on site and, of course, for CO2. Is a big implementation issue. The China is trying to do something, not as much as the rest would like, but a lot more than it might do, because China is controlling the CO2 emissions and increase energy efficiency. There's a huge market in China for high voltage direct transmission, direct current, electricity power lines, modern energy efficient power stations, carbon capture and storage, wind turbine technologies. And in the building industry, new technologies with better glass, better construction materials to make buildings more energy efficient, elevators to make the system higher, less energy using, industrial appliances, home electrical appliances used in buildings that are more and more energy efficient, transport systems that are more energy efficient, better automobiles, better trains. All these things China hopes to achieve. Electricity industry, buildings, appliances, transport systems. Systems. But when you think about these areas, who is going to be the suppliers of this huge market? And China has very limited, it has some progress, it has some progress in the electricity industry and the high voltage transmission system, it has some progress in high speed trains, but these are very specific. The reality is the main technologies for making China green today are produced by a small number of giant global companies that are closer to our country. So at this meeting, the China Development Forum, I think about 70 global companies are there, all, of course, arguing quite rationally. You need our technologies in order to become green. And so China's effort to become green, to avoid environmental conflict and to help things for the future, is producing already a huge market, and the market gets bigger and bigger for whom? Clearly, our companies, those that are helping in our own countries, are the ones that are far away in the lead in these technologies. One statistic, above all, illustrates the dominance of our firms in innovation, high technology, not least of all, in green technology. And that is the government report that was produced each year by the UK government, which was worked on 2 years ago. This is called the list of the global 1,000, the top 1,000 companies in the world on R&D expenditure, research and development expenditure. This is the core of the global technical innovation project. The expenditure 2 years ago was $545 billion for the top 1,000. Not much else in the world apart from these 1,000. Governments do something, universities do something, but that's a small part of the picture. Business provides over 3/4 of the funding for total global innovation. Within these 1,000 companies, the top 100 companies account for almost exactly 3/5 of the total. I wouldn't put that. The top 100 companies account for 3/5 of the total. And now every one of them from the high-income countries. So the first point is, who is right, Mark or not? It's clearly the world of Mark. That is, the core of innovation is a very small number of firms that fight each other tooth and nail, which is not said to achieve technical progress. The second point is, up until this point, they're all, without exception, the headquarters of the high-income countries. So when, not just China, but Brazil, Africa, India, other parts of the world, Southeast Asia, want to build their green future, use their the most advanced innovative technologies, the positions are occupied by a very small number of incredibly capable firms that fight each other ferociously. And the firms from developing countries are nowhere. In the global, on the G1000, the top 1,000 countries in the world, that R&D expenditure, there are less than 40 firms from the developing countries, less than 40 from the developing countries. The BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, have just 37 firms in the G1000, and they have, I think, 230 million.
I said, of course. We can forget Christian response and say China will rule the world. We don't know. We have no idea at all. We know what the situation is today, and that is the situation today. And it is a deeply responsible for the many commentators who argue China has bought the world and is buying the world. To ignore these facts and misrepresent them, it is extremely damaging to people in international relations.